1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Diplomats gathered at the UN to mark 2 years since Russia invaded Ukraine. British Foreign Minister David Cameron, alongside his Ukrainian counterpart, urging Congress to pass additional aid.
We very much hope that Congress will pass the funding bill that will bring America's resources alongside ours to help Ukraine in this fight.
Switzerland plans to organize high-level Ukraine peace conference by this summer. A New York jury found former NRA leader Wayne LaPierre misspent the organization's funds on things like exotic getaways and private jets. Donald Trump and Nikki Haley are trying to get out as much support as possible ahead of tomorrow's South Carolina Republican primary. The former president is leading by a wide margin, but Haley says she's staying in the race no matter what happens tomorrow. Pentagon is trying to determine who launched a high-altitude balloon that fighter jets intercepted over Utah. This is ABC News. The clock is now ticking for former President Donald Trump to pay the penalties in his New York civil fraud case, and the interest is compounding.
In New York County Supreme Court Friday afternoon, the clerk signing and entering the judgment order to start enforcement of penalties in former President Trump's civil fraud case. He now has 30 days to post bond or deposit cash in an escrow account to cover his nearly $355 million fine, plus interest to the tune of $87,500 per day. Only after the fine is covered can Trump appeal the case. If Trump is unable to pay the bond, New York Attorney General Letitia James telling ABC News her office is prepared to ask the court to seize Trump's assets. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The San Diego Zoo is preparing for Panda Diplomacy 2.0.
It's epic. This is huge news. I mean, this is fantastic. I mean, the pandas are one of the most iconic animals in the animal kingdom.
That visitor can't wait for China to send over a pair of the mammals after it took two back home. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Repressive, because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, and Native news and events, and a lot of news and a lot of events. And, you know, we're still here. We are the seventh generation. And, you know, Native issues are human issues, Chujunk, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, a lot going on. We're going to have our friend Allison Wachau on in a little bit and talking about her work as a Met Council Twin Cities tribal liaison. And I know she just jumped on and did that, but she's hit the ground running. I've seen she's visited some tribes here in Minnesota and has never been to a couple of them, and how beautiful their reservations are in the area that she lives. So we're going to be excited to talk to her. But at first, maybe we can talk a little about a little news here. I was just noticing I was at All My Relations this afternoon, and there was a couple things I noticed, Haley. One of them is there is a review in The Circle, the news from Native American perspective, a magazine called The Circle, about a new book about Ho-Chunk removal and exposed ethnic cleansing in Minnesota. And it's a great article, and I'll probably quote from it a little bit later. And I know we got New Native Theater has Bear Grease coming March 2nd through the 9th. And it's really fun. They have the whole different bunch of things that they're supporting that night, like Rock Your Mox night. And I always have to put like supports in my mox now, Haley.
Oh, yeah. You got those bad feet. Well, I know. I know Bear Grease is only going to be having 6 shows. And I think one of their other theme nights is Auntie Night, which sounds really fun. But definitely get those tickets while they are still, you know, not sold out, because 6 shows, that'll go quick.
It's the Gremlin Theater on 550 Vandalia Street, Suite 117. It's a great theater. I've been there before. The one I like here is March 2nd is Elders Day. And that must be a Sunday because it's a 2 p.m. show. And us elders, you know, can't stay up at 7:30 for the other shows.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect for you guys.
I'm a baby elder. I can stay up a little later, but I'm not a true elder, but I am an elder according to my tribe. Native Bling Night, and then fun. Also Youth Day and 1950s costume contest, because Bear Grease is based on the play Grease and the musical Grease.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely have to go see this one. I'm a big Grease fan myself. Did you watch Grease a lot? Were you a big fan of that movie?
You know, that was just like in the beginning of me being really cool and not watching movies like that. I think it came out in 1980. Does that sound right?
And I would not know.
And I was already out of high school, so I was too cool for those kind of musical things. You know, I was into Road Warriors and things like that, blowing up stuff and just being mean and beating, you know, Rocky came out and all that stuff, you know.
Oh, okay. But you guys were still probably smoking cigarettes in the bathroom at school way before they were doing it, right?
Well, we had a lounge, a smoking lounge in my high school. We could smoke in the
My gosh.
Yeah, well, things were much cooler back then, you know. I remember a lot of things I shouldn't probably talk about here on national radio, but we had a smoking lounge, and we could also smoke in between our classes, so we had 5 minutes to have a cig.
Wow.
Yeah, so just so if you weren't of age, you couldn't smoke in the school, but I think if you were 18, you could go into the smoking lounge.
Mm. Well, times have definitely changed.
It wasn't the teacher's smoking lounge. I just want to be clear with that.
Just for the students. Yeah. Students only.
We were chilling. There was couches in there and everything. It was a day, you know. We were chill.
Chilled. It sounds like a work break room or lunch room or something.
Well, school was work then, you know. You had to walk to class. And I remember the computer class I took, Haley, was... You had to call a number, and then, I don't know, even if you as a Gen Zer know what I'm talking about, but the phone we had to put in these suction cups, and it went to the University of Minnesota and got onto their server. And this is like 1978, 79.
Wow.
And then
I knew nothing about that.
And it was a big typewriter, and the memory was like ticker tape. So it was taping out all this memory, but it was punched through like ticker tape, you know, like a paper. And you needed to get back and look at what you were doing. It was punched in some weird holes, and I don't even know how you'd be able to read it. But I was copying Jill Tierney's assignment, and she helped me out. And Jill ended up being... Joe Mauer's aunt. When you're old, you have all these connections. And well, you're not that old. You have a Minnesota twin connection too.
I do. It's pretty cool. But yeah, shout out to your friend Jill. That was really nice of her.
Exactly. I hope she's not listening, but graduated high school, didn't fail a class, and you know, we had those really rigorous courses like underwater basket weaving and
yeah. You failed?
No, I didn't fail class at all. It was like I was down. I was definitely down. But good. when I went back to college and looked at my you know, looked at the classes I took, I went, wow, how did I graduate with these classes?
Yeah, well, that's the trick when you're in high school and you got to get all of your credits, the required ones done, and then your senior year is just all the fun ones.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, there's other things going on here other than my alleged high school career. What else do we got going on here in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, well, speaking of fun things, we have NAC, Native American Community Clinic, here in Minneapolis. They are having another full moon ceremony this month, which will take place today, actually at 6 p.m. out at 2495 18th Avenue South. And they ask you that you please just wear a long shawl, skirt, sarong, or sheet. Again, the full moon ceremonies are for our relatives who identify as female or femme.
Yeah, definitely. Those are good to know about. And, you know, there are some stipulations, of course, like what you mentioned, you need to, I remember too, and you might not remember this, Haley. I don't know where you were at. You were younger, but when Standing Rock happened and the Dakotas fighting against the pipeline, they asked everybody to wear a skirt. And I don't know if you see pictures out there. That was just part of the, you know, ceremonial, you know, acknowledging that it was Standing Rock tribe. And I know Wendy wore a skirt too. And that was, you know, if you see the pictures of her during that, it's just one of those things that out of respect.
Yeah. Well, and it's always fun to wear a ribbon skirt and show off your creation or someone else's beautiful creation. There's a lot of great designs out there. Another full moon ceremony happening tonight. If you can't make it to Minneapolis, they are the American Indian Family Center is hosting a full moon ceremony. Will be taking place at the Bellwind Conservancy Savannah Center out there at Afton, Minnesota. Same thing. It will be a potluck. Please bring a dish to share. Yeah, a lot of cool ceremonies going on. We love the full moon ceremonies and our grandmother moon.
Wow. And what is you sent me this AIFC. What does that stand for?
That is American Indian Family Center.
And so they look like they have a lot of men things, too, going on here.
Yeah, that's part of their calendar. I know we just have about 30 seconds left. But they do have a men's... what was that? They have a men's...
let's see, a regalia making workshop. I could into that.
Saturday, so tomorrow from 12 to 4, American Indian Family Center. Boys to men regalia making workshop.
Wow, that's crazy. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with
me. I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month. Right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Patrick. February is the month for love. So when's the last time you gave your carpet the love and attention it really deserves? If your carpet hasn't been professionally cleaned, you are breathing unhealthy levels of nasty dirt, dander, bacteria, and germs that keep recirculating again and again and again. Lucky for you, Zero Res is going to spread the love to you and your home with their Love Your Rug special. Get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $119 and a free hallway. And don't forget dirt and dander's favorite hiding place either, your air ducts. This month, take $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. Call Zero Res right now or go online to ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM950 special. If you're a business owner, protect your employees and customers by getting your business Zero Resified by the pros at Zero Res. Call today for your commercial cleaning estimate. Backward or forward spells the same. Zero Res.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have our friend Allison Awako on, and she is now the liaison for Met Council in the Twin Cities, a tribal liaison. And we're really excited first to have you on and talk about what's going on, but also, you know, let our listeners what your job entails. And I know you just got this job, and I see you're like really excited, and you're visiting nations. And so welcome, Allison.
Well, thank you. Sorry, my volume wasn't working.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. I thought I could. I heard you initially, and then it kind of dipped out. I'm sorry.
No problem. Hey, it's live radio, and we're all, we're all live here. Hey, what I was just saying is I'd let our audience know what about your new job, and I know you've just recently got this job, but I see you're traveling around and really excited, and you have updates for us, and let our audience know what a tribal liaison is for the Twin Cities Met Council all about.
Well, it's a brand new position. So Met Council has never had a tribal liaison before. And it started actually with the Minnesota Indian Affairs, one of their quarterly meetings. The chairman's and chairwoman advised that the Met Council have a tribal liaison. And so it started from MIAC, actually, and it progressed from there, had the governor's office involved in MIAC in my interviews. And it's been really great. It's a new position, so we're kind of creating it from the ground up. And one thing that I really like is that Met Council has placed me with regional affairs. So I feel like that's a really great position for tribes to be placed in. As far as the Met Council goes, the Met Council is huge. So I'm learning a lot. We do a lot of wastewater treatment. We do parks, we do housing. And of course, everybody knows Metro Transit. So there's a lot of components to Met Council that I'm learning, and it's a pretty big entity.
I was really excited that you got that job. I know there was we were talking a little bit as friends off the camera about or off the radio show about that. That was really cool. I wonder if you could also explain to our listening audience what MIAC is. I know, but I'd like them to know too.
Yeah, the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council is, I guess it would be similar to other states, tribal. They really support the tribes or the ones that are active or in Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. Upper Sioux doesn't participate with MIAC, which they opt out, but they do a lot of how Met Council works with MIAC a lot of times is with the archaeology kind of component of it all. And recently we had a pipe that was close to a sacred site, a sacred area. And so we have to work with MIAC to get approval to then fix the pipe that, you know, and there's, so really I feel like MIAC is an entity here in Minnesota that really supports the tribes and then government, cities, counties in the work alongside the tribes that they'll be doing.
You know, I follow you on Facebook, and you were just at one of the reservations up north, and first time there. Can you tell our audience, you seemed like you were really excited to go back and that you really liked the area. Can you talk a little bit about that experience part and that being part of your job?
Sure. So I'll probably expand on that a little bit. So I moved here from my reservation, Menominee Reservation in Wisconsin, and it just feels really good. And Minneapolis now is home, but it's so nice to get out of the city. It is. It's the cleaner air. It's just so I've been so far. I've been to Lower Sioux and Mille Lacs and now Boys Fort. So in my 2 months time, I've already been able to visit three different reservations or communities, and it's really exciting. I just love it. I love working, being able to work with tribes directly and support them in their work and their goals and priorities. And it's just been Boys Fort. I've never been, I went maybe in Michigan. I was that far north, but it's just really beautiful. It was really nice. And then their casino has this little steakhouse inside. I don't know. Some folks may or not have been there, but it's really good. And so it's just nice to get out and see different places and experience those things. And it was really nice that the chair of the Met Council attends the Indian Affairs Council meetings, and so he was up there as well. And it's nice that MIAC does this so that our leadership can also visit the reservations and see and really connect on that level too, which is really nice.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're finding your jam, and Allison, yeah. I know you from the community here. And just being with your former job here in the Twin Cities, just being in the community all the time and being active. And this seems like just a nice natural progression and next step for you in your career.
I think so, too. I'm really enjoying it. And it combines I was talking with someone recently and they said, have you ever not worked for your community or your people? And I said, no, every single job I've ever had since college or even in college has been either, you know, on my tribe or the Native community. So I really enjoy it. It's my passion. And so I'm really lucky to continue that in this position as well.
So what is, and again, it's a short time, and we were looking back at the history when last time you were on the show, and it wasn't that long ago. And what has surprised you in this short time in your new job? What has been a pleasant surprise?
It's been really nice to see the staff really committed to working on sovereignty, acknowledging it, and taking it to heart. I think it's really easy to just not want to work with tribes or the Native community. And it's just wonderful to see so many staff. Every staff member that I've met so far has been committed to doing everything in a good way. And they had some bumps in the road before I came on, and it's nice to see that they're learning from those instances and willing to make changes. They are starting a land acknowledgement. Well, they're calling it a land, water, and people acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And that started with, it maybe haven't been mentioned with Council Member Littlegren when he was on your show some time ago, but we're really coming together, and that was one of the things that our chair Zelly is supporting and working forward. But we're bringing a council together to really get advice on what kind of action items are going to be coming out of it. And it's wonderful to see that they're putting funding alongside it, which is nice. So we'll see like how this year plays out. And but it's been really, really awesome to come work for alongside staff that understand. And I have a wonderful boss that gets it, you know, and so you don't have to do all the background of explaining everything and the reason why you're doing it a certain way. So it's been wonderful.
That's awesome that the Met Council has become, I guess, a pretty progressive council. I mean, I don't know if it's political or whatever, but just what I'm hearing is sounds really, truly progressive and opening to everything. I'm really interested, maybe when we get back, we can talk a little bit about this, but I never heard of a water acknowledgement along with a land acknowledgement and a people acknowledgement. I wonder, it'd be interesting to hear the definitions of that, because that sounds really cool. Water is a moving, breathing, living thing, and it's great that that's put in some sort of acknowledgement too with the work you're doing in the and with the Met Council.
Yeah, happy to talk more about it.
Well, so I think we got a break coming up, right, Haley?
Yeah, just about a minute.
Oh, okay. So let's see. Should I sing something here for the next?
Yeah, you don't want me to sing.
Haley's a good singer. What do you got for us, Haley?
Oh, well, don't make me blush. No, I'm very average, but thank you.
Well, hey, we'll have to have a karaoke party soon. Hey, we're with Allison, and she's a tribal liaison to Twin Cities Met Council, and really excited to hear her insight and input, and we'll be talking more here in a little bit. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Diplomats gathered at the UN to mark 2 years since Russia invaded Ukraine. British Foreign Minister David Cameron, alongside his Ukrainian counterpart, urging Congress to pass additional aid.
We very much hope that Congress will pass the funding bill that will bring America's resources alongside ours to help Ukraine in this fight.
Switzerland plans to organize high-level Ukraine peace conference by this summer. A New York jury found former NRA leader Wayne LaPierre misspent the organization's funds on things like exotic getaways and private jets. Donald Trump and Nikki Haley are trying to get out as much support as possible ahead of tomorrow's South Carolina Republican primary. The former president is leading by a wide margin, but Haley says she's staying in the race no matter what happens tomorrow. The Pentagon is trying to determine who launched a high-altitude balloon that fighter jets intercepted over Utah. This is ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The State Ethics Commission is accusing GOP State Representative Janelle Branchian and Donald Trump's Joint Fundraising Committee of evading campaign finance laws to steer money towards Robin Voss's primary challenger in 2022. They allege that they, along with others, steered $40,000 in donations to the Langlade County GOP, which they then sent to Adam Steen. The Ethics Commission is recommending local district attorneys to investigate and charge those involved with committing felonies. Several University of Wisconsin building projects are closer to moving forward after final legislative approval Thursday. The bill is now before the governor. The projects include a new engineering building at UW-Madison. It's part of the deal the UW system struck with Republican lawmakers in exchange for new limits on campus diversity efforts. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican. She's a Democrat. She's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds depart, mostly clear tonight. A low of 5 to 10 above. For tomorrow, sunshine's back but cooler, highs in the mid-30s. Big warm-up, though, as we look into Sunday, mostly sunny and up to the upper 40s. Low 50s and breezy for Monday. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Then Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Check them out at vinaigrettemn.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okeezy, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, running now until April 13th at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Yeah, awesome. I was just there again today, and it's a stunning art gallery. And hey, if you guys are watching this on Facebook Live or YouTube, Haley just thought this ended up becoming a TV show all of a sudden. Hey, we're on radio. Hey, we're here with Allison, and she's Met Council Tribal Liaison of the Twin Cities. And I was just asking before, I guess I broke a little early there. We had to talk a little bit before during the music, but just a little bit about that acknowledgement. That sounds interesting. What more can you tell us about the air, land, and water and people acknowledgement?
Yeah, I think the idea behind it, well, one came from Lemoyne LaPointe, a great leader here in the cities. And but really what it is that's what's in our purview for Met Council. Is so really want to, and now that the chair presented that at MIAC at the meeting this past Wednesday, and we had comments that it was an appreciation for that we're including all that, knowing that they're all connected, and especially with Met Council having we do land planning with the cities and counties. We do parks with land. We do water treatment. We deal directly with the Mississippi, with the St. Croix. And so having all that included in the acknowledgement, along with the people, the residents, the tribal citizens, everyone, and just keeping that as a priority. And that is what, and really as Native peoples, that's what, along with the animals, that, you know, we are all connected, and it goes to show that with the acknowledgement. I think that is what we're leading with there.
That's exciting too. And we talk a lot about this too, that all our allies out there have been colonized too at one time or another, and we all believe this same thing, that our animals are relatives, and the water is life, and Mother Earth and Father Sky, and all those things before they were colonized. So we welcome everyone back to the tribe, so to speak.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we're hoping that the land acknowledgement really helps staff and residents and the tribes know. I think what is happening with this and why it really came about was there's something that the Met Council is, we're called a subdivision of the state. So we're not necessarily a state agency, but we are created by the governor's office. And so one of the things that we have to do is a regional plan. And we have to do that every 10 years. So our next one is coming up. It's called Imagine 2050. And it, I believe it'll be completed by the end of this year, early next year. And so one of the things that we're looking at is how do we, maybe I'd like to say like indigenize some of the policies that would be in there. And looking at each policy and going, how does this relate to the tribes? And Prairie Island and Shakopee are within our metro area. And so how can we involve them and really get their leadership and advice on really what is happening within their counties? And so I think that this land acknowledgement will be a way that we can place that within the guide and really showcase what our commitment is for the next 10 years.
That's exciting. And I, you know, what's happened here, I believe in the last 10 years is that we've had a really good acceleration of, as you put it, indigenizing things. And it's really exciting in many, many ways. It's a really exciting time to be Native or Indigenous or whatever you call yourself, just to see these positive changes happening in local government and sometimes national government too.
Right. I feel like we are leaders here within the country with Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Mm-hmm. She has made so many changes and really brought the tribes up with her along the way, which we really appreciate when we're really seeing in Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree. And too, we got to give a little credit too to our first, it was Susan Allen breaking the ceiling there as a state legislator. And then also State Senator Mary Kunish was a state rep. And then we have Heather Keeler and now and a couple others, too.
Mm-hmm. Senator Kunish has been amazing, especially with libraries, too. She does really wonderful work.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we have representation, and it's a bummer, and I think you run into this sometimes, too, with your past jobs, is that you have to educate people about who we are and that we're still here. And it sounds like you have an easier way with the Met Council because they do know.
Yeah, they do. And if they know that they don't know it all, but they're willing to learn, which is the first step. And I think that with a land acknowledgement too, that's another step to increasing knowledge, especially for our residents. One of the comments that we got was that we, alongside educating our staff, we need to be educating our residents. And I think I really would like to see us be innovative. I'm not sure if anybody knows the bus that Metro Transit has. It's by Marlena Miles with the...
Yeah,
on Dakota Land. And what is really interesting with that is the one of the bus drivers that ended up on that was actually Native. And so it was just by chance. I don't think that anybody knew. but it would be really nice to see that kind of education for residents continuing. Like, how can we expand on that and really let people know whose land this was and is, and how can Met Council support that with our buses, our trains? There's so many different things that the Met Council does, and how to really increase visibility for us.
You know, there's so many streets and areas and parks that are named after Native American, whether it's the Lakota name or Anishinaabe or even Ho-Chunk. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a whole listing. I forget what I did with it, but it's really interesting. And here in the Metro, how many names, Nokomis and
So that's something too that the Met Council can look at too, and
definitely, especially with our history.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Do some history. And while I was saying that, I remember too with the Kate Beans push on changing Bede Makaska from Lake Calhoun, which was huge and natural now, but it was a big thing in the beginning. And I know here, a junior high that I went to in St. Paul, it used to be called Ramsey Junior High. They changed the name because the students wanted the name changed because they know what Alexander Ramsey did to African-Americans and Native Americans in his regime as a lawmaker here in Minnesota.
Right. And I think what would be up next is here in Minneapolis Public is, I think there's a school after Pratt. And so it would be nice to see that changed as well. Who did, it was Carlisle boarding school. Mm.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so I know when COVID happened, it kind of stalled, but I don't think it changed the name just yet. So I could be wrong, but I know that was up next for Minneapolis Public Schools. I believe it's over Northeast.
And that's a land back. That's another definition of land back for us, right, Allison?
Exactly. Agreed.
You know, and I think a lot of people think that we want to get certain lands back or whatever, and it's more of a perception. It can be physically the land back too,
right? It's an all-encompassing, right? But it can mean many, many things.
But changing the name back to what it was, and getting a bad person off it, whether it's a lake or a school or a street, I think it's common sense, and I really believe, again, I've been talking like the last 10 years, I've just seen so many things change in a good way. And granted, we have a way long way to go. And but we like talking about this on Native Roots Radio because we have so many allies listening to the show across the country that we run into, Haley and I and Wendy, and we run into them, and they're just really excited to hear the history that it wasn't taught to them and what's going on in Indian country, because it affects everybody.
Yeah. There is the Shakopee grants that are going on right now I think Shakopee has been a huge supporter of with the Understand Native Minnesota campaign. It's been really wonderful. And it's the reviews of the grants are going on right now. And I think that is a wonderful way to get change within our classrooms. So it'll be exciting to see what comes from that.
Yeah, language grants that they've been giving out too in the last year. I saw that. We hope, and I know you were at the To Banish Forever book reading, and we hope that Minnesota takes lightly on to Ho-Chunk when it comes to Native history here in this state. And that's why I think it's important to have a book like that out there about the banishment of the Ho-Chunk people and how that went down, and be part of Minnesota history and not be afraid to face history the way it happened and look at it that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Face reality, and once we can acknowledge it and see what happens and move on from it, it can be healing, definitely.
Yeah. Well, Allison, I want to just say a big peeny geegy thank you for being on, and always thank you for the short notice for coming on, too. I really appreciate that.
Anytime.
Right on.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and we want to, you know, make this kind of often whenever you can come on and give us some updates. But I thought it was really fun to connect with you, especially with how you're enjoying your job and what I'm seeing on your Facebook. It's exciting, and we're excited for you.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert. Thank you, Haley.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. The liaison for the Met Council, Allison, Twin Cities here. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be back after this short break. Please stay with us. Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19-inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
It's funny, Lucy, the cat here in the studio, busted through the door and started, I don't know, it's not a howl. It's kind of a scary scream that she does now, but she was right on cue. Could you hear her?
Oh, yeah. She wants to be included. Oh, Lucy, Louis, she's so cute. Well, that was, I always love when Allison comes on, Allison Wacko, in our last couple segments there. Before we had Allison on, we were talking about some local events going on, but there is something going on right now, which has been going on, I think, since 10 a.m. this morning. It goes on until 8 p.m., so this is something going on in Little Earth. It is a medallion workshop today, right now, until 8 p.m., and teens and adults are welcomed. Beading supplies are provided, so that's really, really cool. This is happening at 2501 Cedar Avenue, Minneapolis, in the group room.
Dang, that sounds like something to really go in and do. That's
I know, right? I feel like you would learn. There's no better place to learn.
Right. I mean, I've looked at videos, and what's interesting, too, I want to say this about medallions and earrings. When you buy them, we talk about this all the time, but when you buy them, ask who made these. When they're in a store like a Native Roots Trading Post or any other pop-up, and especially the fair, because there's so much appropriated stuff out there when it comes to Native American. It's American, Native American inspired, but really that means Native American stolen. And I have a couple of medallions. One's from Nolan, a former student of mine who made a big, big eagle. And there are some imperfections in it, and it was done on purpose. Each bead has a prayer in it, but also, if you look closely at it, there's a different color white beads in there. So if this was made in China, it would be perfect. You know, there would not be any imperfection. So I always look for that, too.
Right, and that's a good point, too. And I always like to know the names of the jewelry or the earrings that I'm buying, too. Just, you know, when people ask and they're like, oh, wow, that's, you know, a really beautiful medallion or earrings. Where'd you get it? And I was just, you know, like pointing them in the right direction to, you know, another sale for that artist to make, too.
Yeah, definitely. And there's things all around, but if you're I just saw today, I was at the Neighborhood Cafe, Haley, and Lisa, who used to work for the store, and she also is, you know, I always kid with her that she was like, when she worked for us a couple years ago when we were down at Dayton's, that she was like the employee of the month, but also customer of the year, because she bought a lot of stuff as she was working, and she was wearing the resin cedar earrings that, you know, Micah and the twins made, and they thought it was great. And she said, I've had about 10 people ask me about these.
Right, right. That sounds like me. I would be a customer and employee of the month.
Hey, you already are here with Native Roots Radio.
Oh, well, thanks, Pina Gigi. Well, besides our full moon ceremonies taking place tonight, like I mentioned, NAC has one in Minneapolis going on, American Indian Family Center tonight in Afton, Minnesota. We have a few other things going on this weekend. I know there is a huge powwow happening out in Sloan, Iowa, Dega. So fill up your car and maybe we'll head on down. But this will be tomorrow, February 24th at the Winnevegas Event Center. This is the Winter Celebration Last Bear Moon Powwow. Is this Winnebago?
Yeah, it must be. It's at their casino. Well, get that war pony gassed up, Haley, and get that front windshield fixed, and I'll bring my pillow and let's go.
Hey,
Sleeping in the passenger seat, that's why I'll bring the pillow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, we both need our windshields fixed, which is always that time of the year, you know, those rocks hit your windshield.
Which is really ghetto.
Oh, well, you know, that's luckily we have insurance and, you know, it's always good. That's why you have that. But that'll be fun. The Winnevegas Powwow Last Bear Moon Winter Celebration. Wish we could make it. What else is going on? We have something going on in Bemidji tomorrow for our Bemidji relatives and friends. This is the Snow Snake Community Potluck Feast and Giveaway. And so this apparently is a tournament, the Snow Snakes tournament, but due to the lack of snow in Bemidji, it is now the feast and celebration. So this will be at the Rail River Folk School in Bemidji, Minnesota, tomorrow, Saturday, February 24th from 4 to 8 p.m. Feel free to bring a dish and or gifts to share with the community. If conditions allow, they will play games for fun. So snow snakes.
You need a lot of snow for that. And it's basically your snow snake is a well-varnished stick. And some are pointy and some are not. And then you whip it down the trail and whoever goes the furthest wins. And I know it's a lot of fun, but it comes from hunting, I guess, using that as a weapon. And then it became, or the pole as a weapon. And then it became known as the snow snake. God, that's hard for me to say. And you whip it down there. And I had an opportunity to do some with some Ho-Chunk youth here last year. But again, we have weather here in the Twin Cities that should be, we should have like four, I look at my Facebook and we should have like 6 feet of snow out there and it should be cold. And right now we got grass turning green and it's unbelievable here. It was 60 degrees. I was in Madison just yesterday and it was 61 degrees there.
I know. Well, I know I'll be heading out to Washington, D.C. Next week. And I know when I leave, it'll be 60 here and sunny.
Yeah. You got to keep on reminding me, too, that you're leaving because, you know, the show's going to fall apart if you're not around. Hopefully you can work on the road on your vacation. Just kidding.
Oh, yeah. We'll hook in on the plane and we'll do the show there.
Yeah. Well, I did one outside of McDonald's yesterday. How did that sound?
Actually really good. You know, shout out to McDonald's for that really great free Wi-Fi.
Exactly. And I was in one of those, I don't know if you've been to a McDonald's lately, but they have these like online kind of places where you can pull up and park and they'll bring out the food to you. Well, I was there and somebody was trying to bring me like four green malts or something. And I said, no, it wasn't me. It isn't me.
The Shamrock Shakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out now.
Yeah, well, there was four of them ready to come to my car while I was sitting in the passenger seat doing this great show. And Robert was on fire yesterday, by the way, too.
Yeah, Robert Lilligren, who's usually on most of our Thursdays, is always a really great guest. So check out all of the shows that he's on. But going back to the Winnevegas powwow, if you can't make it down there to Sloan, Iowa, you can stream it on The Big Voice 100.9 FM, and they will be also live streaming that on their YouTube channel. That is Winnebago, The Big Voice.
Wow, excellent. And as everybody knows, our relatives live down there, and we're all related. And, you know, we got Ho-Chunk and the removal of Ho-Chunk from Wisconsin to Minnesota to Nebraska. And our relatives are there in Nebraska and Iowa area down there. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, and all those other things. You know, it's times are coming here where we need to really get out there and help people register. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier.
Hey, look at that girl over there.
What are you doing, bro? That's not cool.
But she's looking good. I just wanted to let her know.
Yeah, man, but whistling like that ain't a compliment. It's sexual harassment.
Dang, I didn't even touch her.
Sexual harassment don't just mean feeling someone up. Catcalling, whistling, making comments, all that stuff counts too.
Lighten up. I didn't hurt anybody.
Just because you don't think you hurt anybody doesn't mean that she feels the same way. When women don't feel safe walking down the street, we don't have a safe community.
Why are you getting all high and mighty? I've seen you catcall girls before, too.
You're right, I did do that. But we all make mistakes and we learn. My uncle finally told me that when we do stuff like that to women, it's disrespectful, and that's not how women in a community should be treated.
Well, then what am I supposed to do if someone's looking good?
Not every thought that goes through your head needs to get said out loud, bro.
Fine, I hear you. Can't guarantee I won't slip up in the future, though.
That's all right, I got you. If I ever mess up, you can call me out, too.
Nah, don't worry. I never miss an opportunity to call you out.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Your radio station for the resistance, the David Pakman Show, weekdays at 2 p.m. on AM 950 KTNF St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. The United States and the European Union are heaping hundreds of new sanctions on Russia on the eve of the second anniversary of its invasion of Ukraine and in retaliation for the death of Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny. Ed Donahue has details.
The State Department is designating three Russian officials the U.S. says are connected to Navalny's death.
We in the United States are going to continue to ensure that Putin pays the price for his aggression abroad and repression at home.
President.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by Black actors. The first Black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more Black history stories here.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two proposed amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution are moving forward. Both ideas came up during the COVID-19 pandemic.